Team verse for this camp. Okay, I'm asking you, I think, what, number six time. What's the theme verse?
Verse 9 and 10.
Okay. Well done, Russell. Russell, very well done. Okay. Later during lunch, you can have an extra portion of, what's that, chilies. It's actually not hot one, it's spaghetti. Is it something like spaghetti? Spaghetti, okay. Yeah, so he'll have extra portion. Okay, in our lesson now, we will look at the fifth letter of the acrostic in factor, which is the sixth lesson. So it's X stands for? Excellence, correct. No, X doesn't stand for obedience. O stands for obedience. Okay, so what we'll do here, we have discussed how that we as Christians must have what? A spirit of nonchalance when it comes to serving the Lord. Correct? Julian, correct? Spirit of nonchalance, that means bochap. Correct or not? When we serve the Lord, haven't wake up. Oh, tell us. No, we all must have the spirit of excellence. Excellence. So today we'll look at excellent obedience. Excellent obedience. Okay, let's look at this passage in the Bible, in the Old Testament. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 15, verse 22. 1 Samuel, chapter 15, and verse 22. Okay, I won't read the whole verse, but part of the verse. Alright, 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 22, it says here, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. I think this is the easiest lesson for you all to understand. Because all of us are very obedient children, right? Yes. Brother Luke say amen. Okay. But it's not. It's easy to understand, but not easy to follow. Not easy to do. Right? Not easy to do. Two verses in our introduction here will be, just now I read to you a portion of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. I'm going to read you the whole verse now. Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. So to put it in simple English, the Lord, you know, the question is, do you think the Lord is so happy that you are going to church, serving Him, getting baptized, going out soul winning, and doing a lot of other things, doing programs of the church and all that. Do you think the Lord is more happy in you doing that? Or is He more happy in you just obeying Him? So this is the question. Right, and then the answer is, behold, that means take note, to obey is better than sacrifice. It means doing all of this, you give this up, you do all the things that not necessarily are bad. They could be very good things in and of themselves. Right, serving God in church, is it good? Good. But if you are serving Him in a way that is in disobedience to Him, you say, can happen. Can when you're going ahead of the Lord. When you think, I want to do it my way. Then you go, you want to go soul winning. So you go, wow, I must tell the Lord about the Savior. Wow, then before you go out, you don't even pray, you just go out, you take the track. Hey, I tell you, your God lousy, my God better. You must believe. Then they will, I'll still believe in my God. You are stupid, why you go and believe your God? This is wrong. This is wrong, right? You just simply need to obey. Simply need to obey. This verse was recorded in the scripture. The context of it was Prophet Samuel was rebuking King Saul, the first king of Israel. When Saul was given the command when he went out to war, Saul was given the command, wipe out all the enemy, including all their cattle and whatever they have, wipe out. And what did Saul keep? Saul kept the king of this enemy, the Amalekites, right? Yeah, he says, I want to have my trophy of war, and then I kept the best cattle, and then later he says, I keep this, why? So that I can use all this to make an offering to the Lord. I can take all this, Samuel, I'm not keeping it for myself, see? I'm just using it to burn to an offering to the Lord. know, many times we can give excuses also. Oh, well, obey the Lord a bit. We know God is speaking to us to do certain things, but we prefer to do something else. So we excuse, you know, and do all kinds of things. Say, oh, well, I'm doing the work of the Lord. We pretend, right? Now let's turn to another verse in our introduction. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. This one, confirm all of you, already compliant. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. Some of you may have memorized this verse by heart. Ephesians 6, 1, who knows? Can I have another portion of spaghetti? Anybody turn to it yet? Ephesians 6, 1. You have it? Oh, Julian has it. Okay, Julian, read. Okay, it says here, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay, that's why it says, confirm all of you, comply already. Because you all obey your parents. Correct or not? Yes, Brother Luke says. Okay, how many of you says compliant? Fully compliant. I know partial compliance on it, but okay, you can raise your hand up. Pastor, I'm not sure. I'm very compliant. I fully obey my parents in everything. Anything? Anybody? Sure not. Say no. Boa, no? Jian Ming? No. Jian Ming also no. Or if Jian Ming no, die. Nobody can comply already. No, why? Because we find it hard to obey our parents, right? We often do not obey our parents. Okay, one thing, we cannot choose our parents. God is the one who determines who our parents are. So while it may be true that some of us may have parents who are less than ideal, it doesn't negate the fact that we ought to obey them. Right, this verse doesn't say, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And because the verse says, obey your parents in the Lord, that means if your parents are not in the Lord, then you don't need to obey them. Huh? Some churches or some Christians, get an escape clause out of this. I know already. Hey, see, Pastor, you never read your Bible properly, see? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. See, you tell me, must read the Bible completely, yeah? For this is right. My father, mother, not safe, not Christian. No need to obey them. Because if I obey them, I see, if I obey them, negative, then no, wrong. No. The only time when we can disobey our parents is when their commands or wishes are clearly in violation of what the Bible teaches. Right? For example, they ask you to go and murder somebody. Then he says, no, I cannot do that. You know, because that is not right. Or if they ask you to jump down from the tall building. You know, but which parent would do that? Which parent would do that? In fact, the Bible also tells us, you know, which earthly parent will even do that? You know, you will love your children as parents. So your parents will not ask you to do things that are clearly breaking the law. Right? So, but even in those situations, where your parents tell you something and then, you know, you feel that it's against scripture, you are still not to say, Father, you are wrong. My Bible is right. Then you thump your Bible, with a loud sound, Bible thumping Christian. Boom, 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 boom. Take the Bible and thump your head, Father. What will happen if you do that? Will your father have more of a chance to get saved or less of a chance to get saved? If you do that, if you take the Bible because you are so much of a believer in the word, says, believe this is right. Boom. Hit your father on the head. Boom. Concuss. After you wake up, what will he do? He will take a cane. You see, then you go to church. They teach you all the bad things. So what happens? You begin, because you did not obey the Lord, you think you know better. Huh? Your parents are drawn away from the Lord. And then we laugh at this example, but sadly there are some churches in Singapore, in the US, everywhere in the world. Wherever there are human beings in churches, because we are sinful creatures, sometimes we can teach wrong things, pastors and teachers. And then when we start to teach wrong thing, and then like we get a bit of glory, then we draw further and further, and then we twist the scripture more and more, and then it says, no, you need to leave your parents and all that. As a result, I've known of many parents who are not believers yet, and today are not believers. Because why? Because they knew a Christian who went to church and practiced, you know, a deviant form of obedience. Right? They say, you know, I have to obey the pastor. You know, I don't want to obey my parents. Then they leave home, you know, and all that. And as a result, the whole family is estranged. And the whole, as a result, the family thinks negatively of Christian. Right? We must not do this. Because the Bible also tells us, let all things be done decently and in order. Right? This is in 1 Corinthians 14:40. And that's why you will find that most of you here are teenagers, and most of you are under the age of 18. If some of you would want to come and say, I want to be baptized, we will request that you go and talk to your parents and get their consent. Right? Because we do not want your parents to think that we are sneaking you into baptism. Right? If your parents say no, then pray and ask again. Right? So far, what we have experienced is they've gone and pray, talk to the parents okay, their parents even come for the baptism. Right? Isn't it more wonderful? Right, instead of, well, I'm afraid my parents will say no, so don't tell them, then just secretly do it, right? Of course, yes, it's true. The Bible did not specifically ask, you know, mention anything about getting parents' approval for mine, you know, if I'm under 18, you know, I want to get baptized, I cannot get baptized, because they see, Bible says obey is better than sacrifice. But again, let's remember, we must have the whole counsel of the Bible. The Bible tells us to do things decently and in order. So if we have a friend, you know, in similar situation, let's encourage them. Let's pray for them, right? Let's pray for them, you know, that their parents too will, as a result of our obedience to the Lord and doing it decently and in order, they too eventually will also trust in the Lord someday. Okay? Okay, in our boys' devotion this morning, Brother Luke was sharing, and one of the top points, was just do it, just do it. So now I come to this point, just obey. All right, following the course of least resistance makes men as well as rivers crooked. Okay, get it? Okay, you all seen rivers? Like, how do rivers normally flow? Like that one, right? Meander, right? If you all do geography, you will like go and then go one big round and go, right? And Amazon River is like that, no? Very long, it meanders. Then you think, why is this river so stupid? Can cut straight, what? Huh? From the mountains, go straight to the sea. Why does river must? Yo, ayo, yo, ayo, yo, ayo, ayo, ayo. Because least resistance. Why? Because in the middle, maybe there's a big rock. Oh, face the rock. Instead of overcoming the rock, the river just go one side. So, are you a Christian? No. Okay, forget it. Let's go. Are you a Christian? No. And like that. Then meander. So, as a human being, as a man, when we meet with resistance and we don't pray and obey the Lord, we become crooked also. So, this is what somebody wrote here. Right, I don't know where this quote is from, but I found this quote. So following the course of least resistance makes men as well as rivers crooked. For example, obey, just obey, even when you are not in the mood or don't feel like it. Oh, today weather very cool, must sleep in, shiok. Just obey, wake up, attend devotion, come for the message this morning. Just obey, even when it's not convenient. When we have a need, we pray to God, expecting God to listen. Right? Please pray for my need, so and so, blah blah blah. Then when we want God to answer, we don't read His word. We don't obey Him. So how can we expect to get answers when we don't even obey Him? Right? Just obey. Even when you don't understand, I don't really understand why the Lord wants me to do this, but because I know He wants me to do it, I will obey. Just obey, even when it would embarrass you. For example, standing up as a Christian, like what Brother Jason Goh said when he was in the army. I'm a Christian, I don't tell dirty jokes. When some of you go through army, I think you will be faced with that kind of a situation. You know, like putting you on the spot. Right? Now you can always escape. Not free lah, go. But in the army, in there, no choice. Like confined in the bunk. See, then will you be standing up and says, I am a Christian and I'm proud of it. You know, I will not tell dirty jokes. Right? Okay, so just obey, even when it would embarrass you. Okay, disobedience, we must not treat disobedience lightly. Right? Because the opposite of obedience is disobedience. Okay? Why is disobedience so bad? Right? Continuing in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23 says, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected you from being king." That's what Prophet Samuel told King Saul. Right? He told King Saul, see, for rebellion, that means you disobey, that's why you rebel, right? It's as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. The sin of witchcraft, in today's context, in today's world, witchcraft is not a sin. Because there are Harry Potter, there are even, you know, so-called Christian leaders practicing magic and all that. So, no big deal. But in the Bible, witchcraft is a very serious sin. Right? It's a very serious sin. So here it says rebellion or disobedience is as the sin of witchcraft. Right? Going back to our first verse today, we saw King Saul's disobedience. And we now see that his disobedience has caused him to be rejected as king of Israel. Not only that, his sin of disobedience is equal to that of witchcraft and idolatry. It's not like, it's equal. It's equal. Right? It's equal. Don't take it lightly that disobedience is just a small sin. Don't take it lightly. To God, disobedience is a very serious matter. Right? Okay, looking at another passage, now we'll go into the New Testament. Right? In Gospel of Matthew, chapter 19, from verse 16 onwards to 22. Right? You can turn to it if you're fast enough. If not, just pay attention and listen as I read it. Right, it says here in Gospel of Matthew 19, verse 16 onwards, "And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? Right, and Jesus said unto him, Why do you call me good? There is no one good but one, that is God himself. But if you will enter into life, keep the commandments." Right, so Jesus told this man, so this man came to him, "Good master," he talked to Jesus, "Good master, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus came, replied to him, "There is no one good, why do you call me good?" Okay, in any case, keep the commandments. So this man said unto Jesus, "Which one?" So he asked Jesus, "Which commandment?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And the young man said unto Jesus, "All these things have I kept from my youth up." So in our context today, probably this guy is maybe somebody who was raised in church or has been going to a Christian service for many years, right? So he says, you know, like Brandon, please sit there, come in the front. Okay, so this young man here is asking the Lord, "Which commandment should I keep?" And the Lord, you know, told him, you know, "You should not murder, not do not steal, do not commit adultery," and so on and so forth. This young man, probably he's somebody who's going to church, he's like, "Oh, yeah, all this I've done." You know, it's kind of like, "Yeah, I've done it. You know, I prayed a prayer to accept the Lord into my heart. Yes, I've been baptized. I've gone to church. I follow my mom every day, you know, every Sunday to church. Attend Wednesday prayer meeting even. You know, so all these things have I kept from my youth up. What else do I lack?" So obviously, this young man was doing all these things. And yet he felt something was missing in his life. Right? And Jesus replied unto him, "If you will be perfect, go and sell all that you have, give to the poor, and you have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." But when the young man heard this saying, he went away sorrowful, that means very sad, for he had great possessions. He had a lot of riches. So this was a rich young man who came to Jesus, you know. But some of us says, "Pastor, I'm not rich, I'm very poor. I can't even afford the camp fee." Okay, does not mean that just because you are poor, this passage doesn't apply to you. Because if Jesus were to tell you, if you will be perfect, go and give up that thing that you wrote down on Tuesday night when Brother Jason was here, that thing, that person, give that up and come follow me. Will you be willing to do so? Right? Or will you be like this young man, hearing that, you know you need to obey the Lord, I need to give up, you know, this or that important thing in my life, and then you go away sorrowful, sad, because you place so much value in this other thing compared to God, right? Some of you, you know, who have grown up in church will be very familiar with this passage, right? Jesus started by stating all the usual laws and all that, and the young man, you know, being well-churched, you know, he can answer, you know, all the correct answers and all that. But when it came to the crunch, he couldn't give up what mattered most to him. What is it that matters most to you in your life? Right? You know, do you want to, you know, grow up and be a rich man or whatever? Or you want to study very well? Or perhaps you want to, you love a girl or a boy so much, you know, that person becomes the center of your whole being. Without that person, you know, your life kind of like, wow, everything's so sad. You know, that should not be the case. You need to give that up. Sell all that you have. That means give up all that you have and come follow Jesus. That's what he said. So this young man went away sad. Why? Because he did not fully obey. He may have obeyed, you know, all the externals. Wow, everything, you know, everything, all the like, wow, okay. So a checklist, 100-point checklist. Okay, number one, tick, 99, tick, 100. Give up the one that you love the most. And then he went away very sad. So you can do all 99%, but you miss that one little thing, you know. God wants our whole life because he has given his all for us. To give our whole life is only what we can do in order to repay the Lord's goodness, right? You see, the way to salvation is not to give up this or that, right? It's not. Because some people may have the wrong idea. Oh, I give up this one. That means, oh, I can be ready to be saved. No. No, don't misunderstand, right? Salvation is not giving this or that up. But in order to be earnest in following the Lord, we need to take up our cross daily and follow him. Right? A few days ago we said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me." Right? You may not like this message, but this is from the Lord. Right? This is from the Lord. Will you obey or disobey? Right? Some people are, you know, not outright disobedient people, you know. But let's remember, if we do not obey immediately, we delay our obedience. That is disobedience. Delayed obedience is disobedience. Huh? So you say, "Lord, not now. I will trust you when maybe I finish my O-levels. I will trust you when maybe I start working. I will trust you when I get married. I will trust you when, you know, I get married, settle down, have kids, you know, my family, you know, kind of like more or less okay, you know, kind of like the next step in life is to seek religion. Yeah, that's when I'll find you," right? You delay that obedience, you are disobeying God. And when you disobey God, there will be consequences. There will be consequences. What if the Lord Jesus comes tonight? I say last night, there was a full moon already. I mean the blood moon. one of the signs of his coming. Right? What if he comes tonight? Will you be ready? Right? See, to obey comes with joy and promise. Right? So when you obey the Lord, you will get rewards. You will get the rewards. Right? The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, though he were a son, that means referring to Jesus, right? The book of Hebrews chapter 5, verse 8 and 9, though he were a son, that means Jesus was a son. That means he was an heir. He had the rights of of everything in heaven. Though he were a son, yet Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Unto all them that obey him. This verse was talking about Lord Jesus. Though he was the Son of God, he submitted himself to obey the Father's will, coming to the cross to die for our sins. And because he did that, Jesus purchased eternal salvation for each and every one of us. And note that this verse says, unto all them that obey him. All them that obey him. Imagine if Jesus had not obeyed and decided that the cross was too much to bear. Right? Because we know before Jesus went to the cross, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed, Father, if thou be willing, let this cup pass from me. But thanks be to God, he added, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Imagine if he had not obeyed and decided that the cross was too much to bear. We would not be here today. There is no purpose today to teach you about Jesus and his salvation, because there is none. But because he obeyed, we now can obey him, we can trust him, we can, be with him in heaven one day when we die. Right? The verse, right, when you obey, it also comes with a promise for you. Right? So it's like, you do this, you get a free gift. Right? Hey, a lot of you may not be aware of this, but the verse in chapter 6 of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3, it says here, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. What is the promise? Do you know what's the promise? Anybody know what's the promise? Ruth? Ray?
It says next
to
that your life will be long.
Your life will be long, huh? That, yeah, it's true. So some of you may want to live like a long life, right? Many people I want to live to a ripe old age and all that, right? That honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. So there's actually two promises here. So yes, true. You'll live long on the earth, so you have a long life. Number two, the first one, that it may be well with you. May be well with you. Right? You want your life to be blessed, to be prosperous, correct, prosperous. Honor your father and mother. Honor your father and mother. This verse is quite straightforward. There's no need to think so much. Like yesterday, like that, somebody's team don't want to use the clue card because thought too much. No need to think so much. Just look at it. Obey. Very straightforward. If you want to prolong your life, you want your life to be blessed, honor your father and mother. This is a promise. Not Pastor Edwin give you, not Pastor Crocker gave you, not even Pastor Moore give you. God, Jesus himself gives to you. Right? And it's recorded here in the scripture. Right? And we look at the verse in John. If you keep my commandments, John chapter 15 verse 10, the reference. John chapter 15 verse 10. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. So sometimes, are you feeling that you have no peace, no love, and all that? Perhaps you have not been obedient to the Lord. Right? Perhaps you have not been obedient to the Lord. Because here in the Gospel of John, it says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. When you abide in Jesus' love, will you ever feel unloved? No. When you abide in Jesus' love, it is the perfect love. The perfect love. Therefore, in order to be in a right relationship with God, we must be obedient. we must be obedient. There must be nothing between us and our Lord Jesus. Do you want to get your heart feeling right? Then obey Him in what you know. Right? So in conclusion here, we shall look at this verse in Proverbs chapter 13, three verses. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 13 onwards to 15. Whoso despises the word shall be destroyed. I mean, who despises this word, the word of God shall be destroyed. But he that feared his commandment shall be rewarded. The law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. Good understanding give favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. If you obey the Lord, you will be rewarded. But if you disobey, your path will be very hard. Which way would you want to be on? I think it's very clear cut. You all want to be on the blessed path. But when it comes to the crux, like when he asked the young, rich young man, give up that most important thing in your life. Are you willing to give that up? Because all of us want a blessed life. All of us, if I ask anybody, how many of you want to go to heaven? I think all of your hands will want to go up, right? Who wants to go to hell? I think you would want. But when it comes to, how many of you are willing to take up your cross and follow me? And the hands slowly, maybe a few will go up. Maybe a few already decided to stand up. Then a few, perhaps, will bow your head and go away sorrowful, sad, because you're not willing to give up what you value more than God, right? In closing, let's turn to just this verse in the book of John, Gospel of John. Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 15. Gospel of John chapter 14, verse 15, right? It says here, Jesus is saying this, if you love me, what does it say? Anybody, all of you? If you love me, keep my commandments. Keep my commandments if you love me. Do you love Jesus? We can sing a lot of songs, I love Jesus and all that, I love you, Lord. But do you really love Him? Your obedience will show whether you really love Him or not. Right? Are you safe? If you're not, you need to obey the Lord. Come and accept Him as your personal Savior. And if you're already safe, then you must be obeying the Lord in everything that His Word records for us.